All right. Hey there. Hey, Joel Radio's back with you. Look at this for you.
Yeah.
Two shows in a week. Look at us.
Bonus episode.
Being productive.
2007?
Episode 2007?
No, I'm just saying like...
Oh, the year 2007?
Doing two shows in a week?
When we cared about podcasting and we're doing it as much as we could?
Oh, remember?
No, we still care. We care about our audience.
You can find us on Podcast Pickle.
We want to Podcast give our Alley. Audience the first hot take on Solo.
That's
a Star
right.
Wars story. So Corey and I are going to do that. We've reassembled the Jedi Council, Corey, tonight.
All right.
We're here right after the premiere public screening. They did do press screenings for this one. Star Wars hasn't been doing press screenings to avoid spoilers, I believe. But now this one...
They did not do a press
screening. They didn't hide this one behind...
No, they didn't do a press screening for Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Or they didn't do a lot of them real early. So.
But Corey and I are here. It's a slightly rejiggered...
Hey now.
Hey. That's not... There's nothing rejiggered.
Watch it now.
Is something going to come after me for rejiggered?
Yes.
Oh,
it's 2018.
I didn't know that. There's no racial bias in rejiggered.
Well, they...
What am I, Morgan Freeman? You going to come after me?
The dragnet just busted Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. Oh, yeah,
they caught him. Snared him.
Oh, God. Well, what are they going to do with his solo cameo, Corey?
Oh, geez.
Oh, see, now that's a spoiler,
that's
unless
right.
it isn't. We're going to try to be spoiler-free on this for a few minutes.
I was a little surprised when Morgan pulled up his robe and said, I am your daddy.
Well, there you go. Morgan Freeman jokes.
Thank
Corey
you.
Hall.
Let's introduce our Jedi Council.
Well, we have a different Jedi Council tonight.
It's slightly different. Yeah.
Slightly different. I don't think we've ever had the same Jedi Council for all of these, but...
That's true.
But anyway, let's get into it. Well, speaking, he just spoke up, so let's bring back... One of the senior Jedis, no longer a Padawan learner. He is experienced in the ways of the Force. Josh Boab. How you doing, Josh?
Hey.
Josh Boab.
How you doing, guys?
Newly trimmed, Josh. You're looking good, Josh.
Why, thank you. My summer bud.
Yeah. You ate 8,000 boxes of candy in the movie, but congratulations for getting thin.
Yeah, you
I did.
It lasted for some time. Since the last Star Wars movie, you trimmed down and now you're plumping up again? What's going on?
Yeah, I'll be back again for the next one. When is the next one? 6 months again?
Yeah.
No, it's going to be next summer. I think they're trying to get... Lucas is trying to get back on the summer Star Wars.
Okay.
So the fact that there was only six in between these last two means now they can go annually in the summer. I think that's the
idea.
Well,
I appreciated that it was in the summer. I don't know why...
Yeah, it feels... Star Wars feels like a summer thing.
Yeah.
It's not a fall thing.
No, it's like bad game shows. It's a summer
yeah.
You know, it's like, and interesting.
Twilight doubleheaders and Star Wars.
That's right. And interesting, our new addition to the Jedi Council,
yeah.
The great Paul, who is a cartoonist,
yes.
A raconteur, not a stand-up comic,
nope.
But a lifelong Warzy.
Star Wars fan.
Pretty
old school.
Pretty
tell us your Star Wars,
Star Wars.
Tell
fan.
Us your Star Wars background, if he's... He's applying. If you're applying for a seat on the Jedi Council, we need to know, Paul.
Well, I've been a fan since I was a kid.
Are you old enough to have seen the original Star Wars in the theater?
Actually, I was. I believe they re-released the first one before Empire.
Yeah,
Strikes Back.
So you might have seen it in 80 or 79
yeah,
or something. Yeah,
because I was four when the first one came
okay,
out.
Okay, yeah,
so.
I saw it in 78, so I was okay. six. So it had been out for almost a year when I saw it.
Yeah, it seems like it was out a lot longer. But I know I saw
stuff
it.
Played for years and yeah. years back then.
Yep, so seen them all.
Seen them all?
Big fan.
Like them all?
Well.
Yeah, we're going to talk to now. Okay, we're about to find out.
Paul once received a cease and desist order from Lucasfilm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had some parody Star Wars Sesame Street t-shirts. That
okay.
I made
it
them.
Was like Cookie Monster and the Wookiee.
All
Wookiee,
right.
Yeah,
right?
I made them originally.
Wookiee Monster. Right?
I made them for my kids.
Okay, yeah.
Put them on a website. Kind of got shut down. So.
Oh,
made some money.
The end of fun.
Yeah.
That's what I call
That's
it.
That's Lucasfilm.
That's
you,
it.
You kind of reminded me, Joel, but like back in the 70s and 80s, you could watch a movie several times in like diminishingly smaller theaters, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You'd eventually be there with like, you know, nobody else in there. And,
well, because they had there was grades of theater.
Yeah, the dollar show. Or
we've
the,
now
yeah,
eliminated the dollar show.
The second run theater is
no, more
no longer exists.
No more sticky shoes.
No.
Well, and there was rep houses. There was like...
Sure, yeah.
There were repertory theaters which would show old movies.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's kind of gone away. I mean, it's funny. Actually, you know, Star Wars kind of brought the re-release back in 97 when they re-released the original trilogy and had a giant hit with it. And then you see Jurassic Park and these things come back, and I don't think they ever hit as big as Star Wars did, but... Yeah. They bring him back. All right, but we're going to get
Avatar. Now that was a big hit.
Well,
and James Cameron's bringing it back, and there's going to be 4 Avatar sequels, and we just can't wait to return to that planet no one remembers.
Is that anyone's favorite movie?
Not a soul.
It's nobody's favorite movie. I thought Avatar as a spectacle was all right.
He's been talking
That's
about,
all right. He's
been talking about bringing that thing back.
So wait, 4 sequels?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 sequels. Oh. They've raised the money for 4 sequels.
The sequels no one asked for, ever.
You know what? China, Corey. There's your answer. There's your answer.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they'll watch any crap.
They
can barely see. Their eyes are barely open. Now, see, that's my Archie Bunker.
Oh, he's a comic, folks. It's okay. He's a professional.
I want to review Solo, Corey.
But is that why we...
Look, I've already made a racial slur, and it's not...
I know.
This was not the intention of this show.
Well, don't worry.
We got together. It's the second show of the week.
Hold on.
I want to review Solo.
Don't worry. By the time the night is done... All sorts of
xenophobia is going to happen. Yeah, okay.
Gender identities.
All right, fair enough.
Robots. All kinds of things will be slandered.
It. All right, well, let's get into this again. Let's try to be
robots with diabetes.
Now, look, we have not talked about Solo. We got out of the theater. We drove back here to the Palatial Studios in Ferndale, Michigan.
That's right.
And I don't know. I feel like Josh. I go to you. I feel like you were laughing. I could hear Josh. He was sitting, my girlfriend was sitting in between us.
I don't know.
And you were over there laughing, having a good time. And it seemed like Josh really enjoyed Solo. Josh, what'd you think?
People tell me I'm a very easy laugh.
Again, without spoilers for now.
Without spoilers, I probably will regret saying this tomorrow morning, but that was one of my favorite movies.
One of your favorite movies?
Oh my God.
Good. Oh, Josh. Coming out strong, swinging.
Have you not seen many movies?
All right. Now, what did you particularly like about?
If you're a 45-year-old dude, you're gonna love the movie. I mean, it's in the 70s, if you were a good guy, if you were a good kid, you were a Luke. If you weren't such a good kid, you were a Han. Mm-hmm. I was a Han. You know. And I think there's a lot of guys.
You wild maverick rebel, you.
You know.
I mean, and when you look at Josh, you think of Han. I mean, isn't that what we think of right away?
Yeah, I do have that reputation.
Yeah, I mean, you have that swagger about
Lothario
you,
Lothario. And. But no, I mean, that is, I don't know how to explain it. Like, that's just, that was the coolest cat around.
Yeah, absolutely. He was the guy, no one really wanted to be Luke when you came out of Star Wars, right, as a kid. You really wanted to be Han.
I was clearly a Porkins. That was
you were poor. Well, yeah, you and again, you're fine. All right, Corey, you go next. General impressions: thumbs up, thumbs down. What are you thinking of Solo?
Kind of in the middle,
okay.
Because this is two different movies. Because it was directed by two different people.
Two different.
And I thought that the comparison between the two was blatantly obvious.
Okay, but. You could tell what was directed by whom.
Yes.
You're saying that.
Yes.
Really?
And you're saying that based on
The stuff that Ron Howard directed.
The stuff that you liked was Lord and Miller, and the stuff you didn't like was...
The stuff that Ron Howard directed was Lit.
Hmm. I'm a white guy. Tell me what Lit means.
I don't mean Lit.
What do you mean it was... It was shot well?
Like the root...
Lighting was good?
Yeah. I'm saying that they turned the goddamn light bulbs on.
Okay.
Because the first 20 minutes of the movie, the thing is so covered in smoke and darkness.
You're assuming they shot it in chronological order. I don't know that they did or they didn't.
There's a tonal feeling and a tonal shift between the material.
Yes.
That I picked up on.
Okay.
And I'm feeling that Ron Howard directed the stuff in the later end because it is... Has key lights.
Okay.
Two shots.
Well, but that
it's
might
a
just
more
be
standard directing
drama
to it.
Well, I mean, Variety ran a big article about the making of this movie,
mm-hmm.
which didn't have spoilers, so I read it. But apparently, Ron Howard shot 70% of the footage.
Okay.
So when you see that movie, 30% was shot by.
Which Lord leads Miller. Me to believe that the opening
70%
sequence.
Howard, okay. And the other thing, and I was going to get in this, but Paul Bettany, who plays a villain in this movie.
Yeah.
Paul Bettany was recast because the original actor that Lord Miller cast, which was the, I forget his name, Michael Williams from The Wire and Boardwalk Empire, the black guy, he had to drop out because of scheduling reasons.
Okay.
So Paul Bettany's worked with Ron Howard, so Ron Howard got Paul Bettany. So when you see anything with Paul Bettany, you know that's Ron Howard.
Did you hear about how he got that? He just sent Ron Howard a text being like, why am I not in a Star
Wars Paul Bettany
movie?
Said that?
Yeah.
Well, good for him. So, he was fine, so, all right. I don't know, but okay.
So, and the controversy, which we'll delve into about the whole, this movie's had a tortured path getting here.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it didn't, I liked this better than The Last Jedi.
Okay, sure.
At least the things I hated about The Last Jedi were extreme.
Yes.
The things I hated in this, and there were a lot of things, there were some things I hated, weren't as damaging to you know what I mean. There were things
it's,
I thought
its
were,
flaws were more minor, maybe. Is
yes,
that what you're
and I
say?
Thought there were a lot of things to like in this, so right. I'm kind of in the middle.
All right, Paul, let's go to you, and then I'll give my thoughts.
I don't know. The actor for one thing, I wasn't a fan of him.
Hayden Ehrenreich,
is that his name?
What's
yeah.
What is
look it up?
Hayden Alderaan.
Pull up IMDb or Wikipedia because I don't have it open.
Like he looks the part.
He kind of you kind of believe he's Solo after a little bit, yeah.
But just his mannerisms, I don't think, like, he's just, it's not Solo.
Donald Glover did a much better Billy Dee Williams impression
than Billy Dee.
Well, he was doing a Billy Dee Williams impression.
He was definitely in the Billy Dee Williams bit, and he was trying to do it, and I thought he did a good job.
But overall, would you recommend this? Where does this rank as far as Star Wars movies go, in your opinion, or?
I wasn't a huge fan.
Okay.
Honestly.
Didn't like it? What didn't you like about it?
I don't know. There were too many little, like, Corey and I were making comments about there were too many little throwbacks to other Star Wars.
Yeah, movies. There's lots of references to Star Wars, and they do that in all of them, but there were scenes that, again, I don't want to do spoilers right now, but we'll get more into those.
But
I know what you mean, and we'll get more into them in a minute.
Not even spoilers. There were little, like, throw lines, like, well, that, that tastes like a Minock, or whatever. They
were just, more subtle.
Yeah,
but it was peppered with nerd.
Trying to be spoiler.
I know, right. but that's not a spoiler.
Well, the line is a spoiler.
Everybody knows what Minox tastes like.
It's a little line of dialogue that didn't relate to anything.
All right.
But there were allusions to things and mentions.
I can hear the angry nerds unsubscribing right now, Corey. You've ruined it, Corey.
Oh, jeez. There's a couple things. In fact, there was a couple where I had to look and go, is that a reference to something?
I agree with you.
Canon?
We'll get into those. I was taking notes. I wrote some of
those.
We
rolled our eyes a lot.
But Paul, did you like any? Was there anything about it you liked or anything that you thought was really well done? Or,
I don't know. For the most part, I was just kind of disappointed.
Just kind of there for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a huge fan at all. All
right. Well, I think I liked it. And I think if we're looking at, in this room, the scale of who liked it the most, I think it's going to go from Josh to me to Corey to Paul. I think that's sort of a bit of a Z pattern here.
Incredible.
We got a range of things here. But I liked it. Here's one of the things I liked about it, without ruining it, is I felt like the tone of this movie is the tone of the original Star Wars trilogy.
Yes.
It's funny at times. It makes you care at times. It pulls at your heartstrings. It is on some level predictable in a way that maybe the last few sequels haven't been, and I think that was good. I mean, this was the Lawrence Kasdan and his son, and they wrote they wrote Empire and Jedi, or at least the dialogue anyway. I don't know how you credit them exactly, but yeah, they wrote those movies, and so and I think Force Awakens they worked on that as well, and I felt that they kind of have the touch for what people like about Han Solo. I think they have the touch for all that stuff in Empire. I mean, how much of that, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a lot of those kind of touchstones that what we liked about Han Solo from all those old movies. This brings it all back. It's a caper movie. You know, it is it does feel a little bit like a Western, which Star Wars certainly was, the original, at least the original film, even if they moved away from that.
They
went back to that a little bit, and I thought that was good.
Instead of whatever gimmick they had in this, they could have been raiding a gold mine or something.
Yeah, well, they could have been. This could be Reservoir Dogs, Treasure of the Sierra Madre. This could be, but that's what Star Wars really was. You know, it really was a samurai movie, which is really just a Western, and so I thought the acting was pretty solid across the board. Nobody really made me cringe.
Well, that robot made me cringe.
Okay, well, that's we'll talk about that because I did make notes on that. But I thought the human characters did a nice job. I thought it was fun. I think it certainly maybe by not having, and I think Rogue One had this too, by not having the burden, and this even less, of having to like hold up the Skywalker story and the Force, I think just felt a little more loose and a little more fun, and it didn't have to be all serious, and you know what I mean? It just, you know, there was no Yoda, there was no tree full of books. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? I mean, The Last Jedi just got so serious.
Last Jedi was old.
And it was preachy and overly serious. Where this really felt like, this movie reminded me of why I like Star Wars. And I'm not saying it's better than that original trilogy, but I think it's more in keeping with that. I liked Rogue One a lot. I remember when we saw that, Josh. We both liked that a lot. And this felt more like that than Last Jedi did. And for that reason, I recommend people see it. And I did not think... I thought this was going to suck, actually, to be honest, going into it. And I was surprised how much I liked it.
You are right.
Didn't love it, but I liked it. I'm recommending
it. This is mostly, not entirely, but largely removed from the larger storyline.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are a couple.
There's a few hooks, and we'll talk about those in a minute, but yeah.
One of which was a big problem for me, but...
We'll talk... Yes, exactly.
But 85% of this doesn't really...
No,
hey, I remember that from the old movies.
Yeah, there's a this.
Look at that, and that's a thing.
That's how Han did this for the first time.
All of the tech looks like...
Yeah. 70, you know.
Looks like, you know, the screen... They're flying spaceships through the galaxy at hyperspeed, and they've got, like, a 13-inch...
Yeah,
Magnum monitor. It's like an Admiral television with a couple knobs.
You got a VIC-20 in front of them as they're trying to fly through space.
So all that kind of stuff was. I don't know. It made Josh made you feel good. To me, I felt manipulated.
Really? See, I felt like manipulated in the other movies. Like when the camera just pans and there's R2-D2 for no reason. That's pandering.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's... I think we're all sort of on the same page here, although I think it's just about how much identifying what this is. I think we're all in agreement. I think just some of us liked it more than others.
If I could say one thing in my defense, if I wasn't already used to the schlock from Rogue One and all the other ones, I would probably not like this movie as much, but I'm maybe desensitized to to that. So,
Paul, did all the nods distract you or did it draw you in?
I think it distracted me a little bit
more.
There's obvious things in it, like, you know, I mean, not that this is a spoiler, but like Han Solo meeting Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know that's going to happen.
You know
what I mean? Like,
you knew that. Yeah. And that's the problem with prequels in general, is you know what's going to happen.
You know they're going to cover as much as possible.
You know Anakin becomes Darth Vader at the end of episode 3. Yeah, that happens.
What?
Spoiler.
Ruining it.
I don't think there's a spoiler, but I think they were very clever in how they approach
at times. Yes. And we'll get more into that.
That's a big spoiler. You got to watch, because next you're going to tell me that Ilsa got on that plane with Vic Laszlo at the end. Oh, that's it's a Casablanca reference. All right, there you go. People are like, spoilers. I'm like, movie came out in 1942.
Look, I think,
shut up, asshole.
I think we're at least of a consensus that a Star Wars fan will enjoy this. I mean, then again, you go like, okay, let's review this for people who maybe don't like Star Wars or only saw the original trilogy. I think if you only saw Star Wars saw Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, you'd be good. You don't need to see the rest of that. You don't need to see Last Jedi and Force Awakens and Rogue One to enjoy this.
I agree with that.
You know, I mean, I think there's a few... there might be a prequel reference that people might want to know that.
Oh,
but,
really?
But, yeah, there's a big one. But, yeah, I think in that way, this movie's easier to watch than those other ones, than the Disney ones, because it's not full of all those, and even the prequels that were full of... nonsense.
But now there's, on top of all of that,
the lore.
There's
less lore in this.
But on top of the 9 films that we already have.
Yeah.
What is it? How many is it?
I think you're right. I think you hit it 9. Yeah, this is 10.
On top of all of those movies, you now have the Clone Wars theory.
Well.
And you have the books and the audio tapes and the expanded universe. And sometimes they go, well, none of that shit's real.
Well, they
And then sometimes they go, and in this
canon,
movie, in this movie, they were like, that shit's real. So that was annoying to me.
Well, they reset the canon for Force Awakens. So anything pre-Force Awakens that was not in the 6 films is not canon. That's the rule that Disney put down.
Except an extended universe thing was mentioned in this.
Well, they can bring it, but everything in the expanded universe since Force Awakens is canon. Do you know what I'm saying, Corey? Okay. Are you talking about something that was pre-Disney, yeah. extended and universe,
I'll
and
it's explain
canon
when we get to the right, spoiler well, portion well, of the program.
I think maybe
yeah,
this might be a good time to do
pre-Disney.
It.
That's pre-Disney.
All right, then let's do it right now. We're going to go spoilers. If you haven't, if you don't want to know what happens in Solo when all of the characters and all of the Easter eggs and all of the references and the scene breakdown and how it ends and all that stuff,
yeah.
we're going to do that right now. So turn this off, go see Solo, and right. come back to us. All right. And this is at the, I don't know, at the 20-minute mark, so...
Because actually, Corey, didn't you...
All right, Corey, tell us this expanded universe thing.
Oh, okay,
spoiler.
Well, all right.
I don't know if I know what you're talking about.
But there's a reference, and I turned to you and I said, I think that's... Okay. They, Woody Harrelson's character...
Yes.
At one point, I think Paul Bettany says, you killed Aura Singh.
Okay, yeah.
Aura Singh is a bounty hunter that they introduced mm-hmm. sometime after the prequels... And before the new J.J. Abrams verse.
She's in the prequels.
Oh, she's in the prequels?
She's in...
Is she the girl with the tentacles in her head or whatever?
Yeah.
Is that her?
There's,
yeah, okay.
there's one part in like the Padre scene where yeah. you see her standing there, and that's like it.
Okay,
okay, but she's canon, I think, yeah. because she but, is in some post-Disney
okay.
stuff.
All right.
So in a sense, whatever they've... Yeah, I mean, I know what you're
but
saying.
But they've made comic books about her and stuff.
Right, right, right.
She's not really in the... I guess she's in a scene in the...
She's standing, yeah.
She's in a scene. But I know who you're talking about.
I'm on fucking Wikipedia. As
I didn't
speak,
get the name, but yeah.
Looking that up because I was like, I knew that, and I went, that's pinging something.
All right.
Well,
so this movie is loaded with that, like.
It is. The minutiae.
Obnoxious to the point where it's obnoxious to references to everything.
I agree with you, but I don't think it's obnoxious. When we reviewed Spider-Man Homecoming. And I talked about why every name of
every store they walk by
is a reference to the Marvel Universe. That
like,
got annoying.
They're going down Sternanko Drive and they're going to turn on Gil Kane Boulevard
and hop on
John Byrne Expressway.
Every license plate in Star Wars Homecoming was like a secret code to something that happened in a comic book. And it was the camera would linger on these things. I don't think the camera lingers on this. I think if you're looking for these things, you will see them. But I don't think you need to know who these people are or the references.
The Easter eggs were many.
Corey, didn't you say there was a reference to a video game?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There was, she goes, at one point, the Khaleesi flips the dude.
Khaleesi.
And they're like, how did you, and the robot, the wide-hipped, woke...
chesty robot?
Sex bot.
The busty, corset-wearing robot?
The fuck Roomba.
the intergalactic real doll?
Yeah. She goes, where did you learn to fight like that? She goes, oh, I learned Terras Kasi, and there was a shitty PlayStation 1 video game called Star Wars Masters of the Terras Kasi, where they were like, it was like a Street Fighter game. God, I know, it's in my head. I don't want it to be.
Well, it's, okay, fair enough.
And I don't know if it was ever mentioned anywhere
else. Let's just do the big spoiler, the big character that I don't think any of us expected to be in this. The super nerd.
Big old spoiler. We haven't described the plot.
Well, I know, but Darth Maul shows up in this movie. Yeah. Darth Maul was cut in half at the end of episode 1. What the fuck,
Did you notice his legs?
Were his legs gone?
He had metal legs.
He had metal legs. See, I didn't even get that.
Really?
Wait, a good eye, Paul.
Motherfucker got cut in half.
Got cut in half and survived.
So he's like half robot.
And he survived.
And got,
okay.
He lost his dick as well.
Well,
if Luke can have a fake hand, he could have robotic
legs. Like
I didn't even notice the legs.
Okay, okay. A hand, okay. Many, many human beings survive a hand being cut off.
Yeah.
I don't know what race.
He's not a human.
I know.
This feels more like Nixon's head in a jar in Futurama.
But this is, Qui-Gon, who is an elite master of...
Yes.
My problem with Star Wars is it forces me to break it apart.
Yeah, I know. And it will not hold up to scrutiny by anybody.
And the problem is they've created a religion.
Yeah.
They've created a canon and a dogma. And then they think that the dogma is not... And religion gets off on the, you must have faith. Well, all Star Wars films require faith because none of them are scripted or written tightly enough that you can't disintegrate that shit in five seconds. And it begs me to break it apart with a hammer. And they do that shit all the time. And so Qui-Gon, who's an elite master of the Force and he has healing abilities, gets stabbed in the chest with a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Dies instantly.
This
motherfucker gets split entirely in half, thrown down a 800-foot long fucking tunnel into a fusion reactor, whatever they were in the power plant.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, he's back. Fuck you.
Well, look, he
fuck you in the ear.
But when he stood up,
Okay, see, I didn't even. That was lost.
Yeah, his little.
He had robot legs.
He had robot legs.
I pointed out to Corey. So yeah, he's got robot legs and a robot dick now.
But fuck all. Fuck all that. Oh yeah, so he. Well, there's some horny robots in space now.
Yes,
But I mean, look, he was the he might be the one good thing in Phantom Menace, so I don't blame them for wanting to bring him back. But
no, there's no. The guy got cut in half.
Well,
that was the best.
And this
what that did was establish Obi-Wan as a badass.
Okay,
is that Obi-Wan just fucking executed them?
When would you estimate this movie takes place in, say, the real timeline?
Well,
the end of.
Han is about
Revenge of the Sith to this.
Han's about 32 at the start of Star Wars, probably.
Yeah, I'd say he's 30.
In early 30s.
Yeah.
How old's Luke? Like 17?
Luke's like 17.
Yeah. Luke's already born.
Leia are 17.
Luke
or
and Leia are babies.
Yeah.
They're already born.
So they're babies basically when this movie comes out.
They're like, you know what? They're toddlers probably or whatever.
Yeah, because he's.
So this is must be.
Because Han Solo's. What is Han Solo in this? 20?
Yeah. So this has to be maybe 12 to 15 years before.
Okay. So.
Right? If Han's 18, maybe.
Okay, but. So Darth Maul was chopped in half when Anakin was 6.
30 years before any of that, too.
So Darth Maul's pretty old at this point, then, right? Darth Maul's 60?
He spent 30...
Yeah, but he might age.
He has robot legs.
He's a Sith Lord.
His age has been cut in half.
Oh, hey!
Josh Boab coming in strong.
What's that?
Look up Darth Maul.
I'm going to look up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm on Wikipedia.
Like, I'm just wondering if, like, in, like, the Clone Wars or
what
something,
the
like,
said.
Later on.
Yeah, Darth Maul. I mean, I think enough people were surprised that he's back. And, you know, apparently they are doing the Obi-Wan movie.
Oh.
Obi-Wan on Tatooine, and I guess
he could
be in there.
And Obi-Wan will cut him down the middle.
And Emilia Clarke's character could be in that, I guess, as well, right? Because that would be, they would be 10 years, they would be
well,
a few years, less than 10 years on from this.
In Rogue One, they solved the problem of how come we've never seen these characters before by killing literally everybody.
No, okay, and that's fair. And they kill people here.
They
disappear.
No one survived Rogue One except C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah, right.
But that's what I liked about Rogue One. It was just it is a standalone.
It's a standalone movie.
Yeah.
Well, but it also has the Darth Vader.
Yeah,
and
it
those
ties
guys.
Into
yeah.
A New Hope
yeah.
at the end,
right.
which I love
yeah.
the way they did
if
that.
If you watch a lot of old
Grand,
World
what a Grand Moff Tarkin.
Do you feel like there's less pressure on the standalone movies to fit into the canon? Because I'll be honest, I've enjoyed both of the standalone movies a lot.
More than the other Force Awakens and Last Jedi. I think I'm in that boat. I think
it doesn't
have
the pressure on it.
I'll take the two standalones over those two sequels. Last Jedi, I liked some of it, but there were, we did the review.
Do you think
go listen to that.
As a director.
But the corny, the casino and all that shit was so annoying that was...
Well,
I said that casino scene was the worst thing in the history of Star Wars. It was worse than the holiday special.
All right.
I said that here the night it came out before anyone was shitting on it.
The holiday special is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I agree.
In terms of, I will say one thing in favor of Solo, is that it looked like Star Wars.
Yeah, it looked like, it felt like Star Wars.
There were few designs that I went, gah.
The wine glasses?
The wine.
Corey was livid about the wine glasses.
You were so pissed about
the
wine
glasses. That was like a 1977 kind of thing.
Well, yeah.
It was literally a wine. It was
found object.
It was a wine goblet, and they slipped a tin can on the bottom of it, and you're like, space cup.
But
it was just like, shut up with the space cup.
But, Anakin's, Luke's lightsaber is a flash holder for an old-timey camera.
Yes.
And if you see one of those, you can look it up. It's
and
an
all
actual
of the,
it's the thing the guy would hold as he was taking the photo with the badge.
All of the guns.
It's exactly what it is.
All of the guns are old World War II stock guns.
Yeah.
That they slapped extra pieces on.
Right.
Han, by the way, has a scope on his blaster.
Yeah.
Motherfucker never once shoots anywhere but from the hip, or you know what I mean. Like you wouldn't have a.
But it's a scope. It's a scope because it was a rifle, and you see Woody Harrelson disassembling the rifle, and it becomes. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Am I crazy? Yeah, that's exactly right. That explains the scope,
all right,
Corey Hall.
All right. But I'm just saying, I've never seen him use the scope. One, a scope.
No,
on
he
a,
doesn't. He's
a scope
too cool.
on a handgun is stupid.
Right.
And two, he shoots like a gunslinger.
I mean, shouldn't Chewie
occasionally he'll lift it up? But
shouldn't Chewie have got the crossbow in this? Was anyone else disappointed that we?
I was waiting for that to happen.
I didn't understand.
I thought the bandits were going to give him the crossbow as like a gift or something. Like that would be one of their weapons because they seem to have all this sort of advanced stuff.
I think
the end
you could
have
improved the movie, Joel, if you would just sort of call them up.
Lucasfilm, I'm available.
By the way, there's not one movie I can't punch up the script of every time I read it. I just go, you know what I mean? Like, if there is one that I can't think of an immediate fix to, I go, oh, that's a great movie.
Well, like, I felt like Corey, I was waiting for that as a fan.
You haven't seen Book Club yet. So.
I have not seen Book Club.
But it was also
bet that's perfect.
You know,
no punching up.
You wanted to know why the Millennium Falcon looked different in the beginning, which it does, and it did in the trailer.
Yep.
They explained that that was an escape pod that they jettisoned, and so it has the little fork at the front now.
I learned that from seeing the toy at the store.
Okay, true. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Well,
I did not go there.
Toys are often spoiled. Yeah. For movies,
I avoid the toys. No spoilers. Yeah. No spoilers.
But though, guys will do. That's how crazy the internet is.
Sure. Well,
is
I
now.
Know. Well, I'm not
guys
that
will go
crazy.
To, guys will go to the licensing convention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And where they're like doing the merch like 6 months ahead
of
time.
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, you know who's in this movie? Because I saw it at the licensing convention. You know, you get these reports.
Of, well, yeah.
There's an action figure for Lando, so he's in this movie anyway.
Yeah, with the toys, that's how I found out that Darth Vader was in Rogue One.
Right, right.
Okay, yeah.
Which is a big reveal in that movie.
Uh-huh.
This one, okay, so in terms of the plot, you're right, it's a very standard Western kind of heist. Mm-hmm. Han is,
I need to get this gold to pay back my debt, but everyone else wants to steal this gold.
I was annoyed.
And I'm going to get this girl, but this girl's two-timing me because she's working with the bad guys.
It's kind of a noir and a Western and a... like a Sam Peckinpah caper Western.
Mm-hmm.
But from the opening scroll, it says, it was a lawless time.
Yes.
5 minutes later, the Empire is breaking everybody down at the TSA.
Well, they were trying to bring the law to the lawless, Corey.
I'm just saying.
Lawless,
it's
man.
A lawless time in which the fascist empire
Except
has seized
the
control
empire.
Of the galaxy
well, not...
and imposed law on everybody.
They were imposing law, fuckers.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, that's not a lawless time.
Corey was very pissed off about this.
I thought that was annoying.
Okay. Let's talk about in the beginning with the, so,
would you call World War II a lawless time?
Yeah. First of all, the fighting...
Well, the Nazis didn't think
when,
so.
When Solo's in the army, that felt like World War One. Didn't that feel like Paths of Glory a little bit when they're trying to, when they're in a trench and stuff? Okay, so they said that the Star Wars story movies, the non...
Right.
You know, whatever, the standalones, won't have a crawl. So instead of a crawl, they did like 7 or 8 cards of text, which would have been the exact length of a fucking crawl.
Yeah.
Just do a fucking crawl. No one's going to give a shit if you do a crawl. And they did it in blue instead of yellow.
Everybody expects a crawl in a Star Wars movie.
No, but Rogue One didn't have a crawl. So they said we're not going to do a crawl.
They're not part of the saga.
Yeah. But they did a crawl without doing a crawl.
Yeah,
just
this
do a
is like,
crawl. It's fine.
Oh, you don't want half a dozen eggs? Here's 6 eggs.
Yeah, it was like the exact same thing.
No, I swear I thought for a moment that Obi-Wan was going to show up on a hologram.
Well, Obi-Wan, I mean, he's around. I mean, but I think the movie's better for a... Were 3PO and R2 in this?
No.
No, I don't... No. Did anyone see him? Because there was all that thing with the droid rebellion there for a minute, and I thought maybe they'd be in there. Because that means this is the first one that they're not in.
Of course,
if they were in it, Lando would have.
Because they're in Rogue One for a second. Yeah, well, all right, you want to get into Lando and his robot?
Lando
Dave
and his
Lando?
Zombie sex robot. Well,
Dave Lando was
Lando
in this
Calrissian.
Movie?
I feel like we crossed a threshold of society tonight during that movie.
Well,
Donald Glover gave an interview and said, Lando is pansexual.
Yeah, I saw that headline, but I didn't read the article. And
which is basically like he'll throw it in anything.
But yeah, we learned
that.
And
at one point, what was the name of the stupid sex bot? I can't.
L3.
F5?
I'm going to call
R3, right?
F5. It was L3, wasn't it?
I'm referring to her as fuck.
It was L7.
It's L337, played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge from the show Fleabag.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm referring to that robot as...
I'd throw it at Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is cute.
Yeah. Is she?
I would refer to this robot as Fuck Roomba. From now on, it had the head of a Roomba and wide birth and hips, which is what you need on a droid. I was like, that's a badly designed robot.
Lando's lubing it up with some WD-40.
Oh, my God. And she wasn't like a smooth, sexy robot.
No.
Like, you could make a droid in a more human form.
Right.
C-3PO.
Oh, the technology that they have.
Right.
Right. What do you say? You want some of that, Paul? Look right there. Is that good for you? You give it a thumbs up?
Yeah, I would fuck that robot.
Yeah, now imagine that's a robot. All right,
yeah, if that was a robot, that's way better than the vacuum cleaner that Lando was fucking.
Can you give us another couple Phoebe pictures here just for kicks?
Just for kicks? I don't know.
Yeah, she's, you know, she's very British-y.
She's kind of tall and
lanky. But that's okay, Paul.
I'm British-y.
You're of British extraction.
Yeah.
So she was the voice for the...
That's the voice of
fucking... For the sex robot.
Okay.
Oh, here she is in lingerie. Here you go, guys.
There you go.
There you go, boys. There you go.
That's impressive.
Yeah, she plays a sex addict on the show Fleabag.
Okay, well, there you go.
Oh, so this movie.
Uh-huh. Get that on your Amazon.
So this
Prime
so
video.
Lando's got a droid,
yes.
the fuck Roomba.
Yes.
That is, she's like a woke, feminist, sassy robot. She's a woke feminist droid who's also into Lando.
Well, she says like, oh, Lando would be into me if I would let him or something. There's something
like
that.
Yeah, she made a reference like Lando's more into her.
Right, but then it seems like it's a joke and like Lando really wouldn't be into her. And then the next time Lando's with her, you go, oh, yeah, Lando is into her. Yeah.
Well, and then.
Well, no, because then Khaleesi goes, the mother of dragons says to her.
By the way, Game of Thrones beat the Avengers. Let's put that out there. It happened.
What?
Well, she killed Paul
Bettany. Oh, she did. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
See?
That's true.
You guys forget the...
I'm now thinking...
Have we all forgotten the nerd universes? No, they were colliding
I'm
here.
I'm wondering when she's doing a Marvel movie, because she seems queued up to do one.
Look, Cheers never had a fucking shot against Game of Thrones.
Cheers. Woody Boyd sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Woody Boyd sat in the fucking Millennium Falcon. Are you
know,
serious?
You know what? White.
I mean, you had Westworld, Game of Thrones. You had Avengers.
You know, what we learned in this: white men can't smuggle. Sorry, Woody.
Awesome. Atlanta. You added
so,
that
okay,
in there.
So the plot basically is Han Solo is from the planet Corellia.
Yes,
which we've now learned is the shipbuilding planet.
Yes.
Which I don't think we'd ever heard that before.
Yeah, and it's a shithole, too.
Yeah.
And his father built Millennium Falcons.
And because
that's been the...
Isn't there a Russian ship port called Corellia?
Maybe. Mm, I don't know. Now you're getting... That's deep, Josh. You got me on that one. But so he's on this planet. He and the Mother of Dragons are... who's his hot little piece of street tail.
Yes.
And they have a little bit of a thing going on.
Yes.
And they're running around pulling scams on people, and they steal some credits or some...
Well, that's the MacGuffin of the movie.
They steal
this
a shiny MacGuffin.
Fluorescent, glowing,
and
blue
then the crime
stuff.
Boss is a sewer worm creature with the...
Right. It feels a lot like... It's supposed to feel like that Jabba scene. Because he even says, I have a thermal detonator and they're totally doing,
what's with this galaxy?
Return of the Jedi.
It was a
what's
weird
this galaxy where all the crime bosses are disgusting slug creatures?
That's one of the scenes that they're trying to...
What other jobs would be available to them?
I guess you're
there's
right.
There's not a lot out there for them, really.
Well, apparently, you know... He's so threatening that all you got to do is like turn a light on, and he has to scurry underwater.
Well, they gave her a name like Lady. What was her name?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
They gave her this like
lady,
regal.
It was
like,
Lady. Something.
I can.
They gave her a regal name, and then you're like, what?
Let's see here.
She's like those millipedes that live in your basement.
Linda Hunt, Lady Proxima, was voiced by Linda Hunt.
So they gave her this. Yeah, they gave her a regal sounding name, and she pulls up out of this pile of shit water as this slug thing. Anyway, and then they blow her up, and then her goons are chasing after Han and Mother of Dragons, and
they bribe a checkpoint.
He gets his space Mustang stuck in a crack, trying to get away from them, and then they try to bribe their way off the planet with the stolen Marcellus Wallace's briefcase.
Yes,
and they try to bribe, and then, of course, the Empire doesn't go for it because they're dicks.
I mean, it's did you notice in that scene?
And then
that
so
the,
Han...
Okay, well, when they're at that scene, they're doing the recruiting. There's a recruiting video to join the Empire, and there's TIE Force.
That was awesome.
And they use the Imperial March as, like, I guess that's their real world theme song.
Yeah, I guess.
That is, like, their national anthem. It's not like, just a John Williams score.
Be all
score
you
piece.
Can be in
like,
the Marines.
But why... So when you see them marching on the Death Star or the Imperial Cruiser... I guess that's actually playing.
So is that meta?
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So is that song actually playing in those scenes in the original trilogy, or is it just You know what I mean? Are we supposed to believe that now? Because it changed the whole thing.
Hmm.
A little Easter egg. Anyway, go ahead, Corey. I don't know. So, do we have to do the whole movie?
No, I'm just...
Can we get to the space chimp? Can we at least cut to fucking John Favreau as a space chimp?
But there was a point in this where... okay, so Han's at the... He's trying to escape, and he goes to the recruiting office. And this is his brilliant plan to escape, is to join the Imperial Navy. This is like, I'm going to go out. He just gave a lecture about...
Well, he wanted to be a pilot, so he's going to learn how to fly.
He and the Khaleesi of the Great Grassy had given each other a speech about how I'm going to keep the unburnt. I'm going to keep naming all her names. So Daenerys is like, no one will... We will not serve anyone. We will roam the galaxy unbound and free, fucking in many positions across hyperspace. His immediate brilliant strategy is, I'll get away from them by joining the Imperial Navy, and they won't figure out that I'm the guy that stole the widget or whatever. And then, of course, what's the solution? They explain where his name comes from. Paul, take it away.
Okay. They ask him his name, says Han. Ask him what?
Who are your people?
Yeah, who are your people?
Who's your last? He goes, I don't have a last name.
I don't have
people?
Any people. Yeah. So they write down Solo.
Yeah, the guy says
that's
Solo.
That's where he got his name from.
So it's a fucking alias.
Yeah.
But then he says his old man was, so he's got a name. So now he's turned into fucking Wolverine.
Want to say his name because he was ashamed of
so
where
Han
it was
has
from?
A real name.
He does.
Last name that we now have to
find
out.
It'll be in the next one, fucker.
And
get your 12 bucks ready, fat boy. Come on.
Will there be a next one? I thought isn't this the end?
They could do another Solo. I mean, he's going to meet Jabba the Hutt apparently at the end of this.
So after 41 years, they decide, hey, fuck it. Let's give him a fake name origin. Like, what was that about?
But Luke, they'll call Skywalker while they're hiding him. Where they're hiding him from his dad, who's a fucking crazy person, and they're going to call him Luke.
I insist.
Luke Skywalker.
By the way.
On the planet his dad grew up in. They sent him there to hide.
And, it's a really common name on that planet.
And
yeah,
exactly. Obi-Wan disguises himself by calling himself Ben Kenobi.
Nobody will know it's me.
Hold on. And a order, what's the order number? I can't remember the order 792 or whatever. The order has been given to execute all Jedis on site across the galaxy.
Yes.
So Obi-Wan goes to Darth Vader's home planet.
Exactly. Yes.
Changes his name to Ben and wears his uniform for 40 years in the desert. I insist that Star Wars has been broken from Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, come on.
The entire fucking thing falls apart.
Listen,
decision.
They deprogrammed C-3PO. Fuck you. They fucking did it at the end of episode 3. You fat fuck. They threw a switch and he forgot the whole thing.
Seriously, though, the many reasons to hate the prequels, and they're
many.
But to me, the most stupid, hateable thing, the laziest, dumb thing they fucking did was make the Jedis wear those same robes because it fucks the whole plot up. It immediately blows this fucking galaxy-wide plot hole in that Obi-Wan's hiding out in a fucking Jedi outfit.
Okay, so what they should have done...
On a planet full of thieves and scoundrels goes, I can make a couple bucks by dropping a dime on the fucking Jedi
Should they have just, in episode 1, had
different outfits.
Obi-Wan in a different outfit?
The Jedi
that should not
have
been the outfit of the Jedi.
Yeah, because when you wear those robes, it's obvious you're a Jedi and everybody knows
it. Right. The Jedi should have had some different fucking outfit.
But if you're wearing...
Like a tracksuit.
If you're wearing the uniform...
Or armor or some shit, right?
But if you're wearing the uniform of a war that happened 40 years ago, people are just going to think you're crazy.
That's possible.
Right. I got a couple things. Okay. Han Solo speaks Wookiee? That's not a thing that we've ever seen before. But, I mean, maybe what they're trying to do is it was always a cinematic device where Han was actually speaking Wookiee, but we were hearing
He always
English.
Understands Wookiee.
He always understands, but I always thought it was Chewbacca understands English.
I thought they just both understood each other.
Yeah, but Han never spoke Wookiee.
No.
He understood Wookiee.
I think that Chewbacca understands English but can't make the syllables.
Because he doesn't have a tongue or he doesn't have
that makes sense.
Palate.
I mean, we could argue that.
All right.
That,
that was interesting.
His big Wookiee mouth can't make...
That's hardcore nerd shit. Right?
Wait, did they get cut out? Was that mentioned in the movie? Somebody's tongues were cut out?
No.
No, I don't think the Wookiee...
No, I'm just saying that the way the Chewbacca's mouth is built, he can't make English syllables. Yeah.
He's a dog. Right. All right. Can we talk about the goddamn space chimp? Can we just finally get to the space chimp?
I was wondering whose voice
that little
was.
Forearmed guy. His name was, what was his name in here? Rio Durant. He is sort of the pilot.
So he's a Mexican.
He's Roberto Durant.
I don't know. Rio Durant.
Did you say that was John Favreau?
It was John Favreau.
Was it?
Because, yeah. I mean, it was a chimp from Brooklyn. It sounded like a Jewish chimp from Brooklyn, which I know. Yeah, but it, that's
but with,
was,
a, with a Mexican name.
With a Mexican
name. What
the
fuck?
I don't know.
No,
I kind of liked him. I liked him.
He made a comment that pissed me off.
What did he say?
He talked about opening a cantina in a place that's not too hot.
Okay. Oh, no. That one went over my head. Yeah. There you go. Easter egg.
A place that's not too hot.
Well, he didn't get to live that dream. They killed him.
Mos Eisley's hot as shit. It's a desert.
Man, so maybe it wasn't right.
But
it seemed like it was referring to that a bit.
I think you're right.
Mm. Well, so anyway, so that guy, they've got a... So Woody's got a crew.
Well, he's the pilot, and he dies, so Han can become the pilot.
Right. Woody's got a crew, and it's him and Tandy Newton.
Tandy Newton. That's his girlfriend and cohort.
The space chimp. And the space chimp's hiding under a robes with, like, a helmet.
Yes.
And and Han goes, he says something about, like, we were all in the Navy, and he's like, you're not a, you know, because we realize that the Empire is strictly 100% alt-right Proud Boys, because they only hire
Richard
English,
Spencer.
Right, they only hire English character actors to be in the Empire. There's like no other species. They're xenophobic. They're like,
well,
only humans.
You get to Finn in Episode 7,
right? Well,
he's a slave.
Yeah, they did mess that up.
Who was stolen from his parents?
A black slave boy in the future. I thought
was he a slave? Or
you know
was Finn a slave, or was he just?
Bernie had won the primary.
Is it the future?
You're right. It's a long time ago.
Well, it's the future. Yeah. No, but it's the future to.
Here's the other
that
thing.
To the original trilogy in this movie.
Here's the other thing. So we're talking timelines.
Yes, in the timeline.
Okay,
the future.
So the prequels happened roughly like less than 10 years before this.
Yeah. You would say that. Sure. Yeah.
Right. Or, I mean, we're not too far from the time of the Great Republic.
Well, with the end of Episode 3 and the beginning of Episode 4 is about 16-17 years.
Right.
So this is somewhere in the intervening time,
but
and probably
not all that long ago.
It would be
much of the galaxy was
6 or 7 years after.
Okay.
Because based on how old Han is compared to Luke.
Yeah, but you look at Han in this compared to A New Hope, and it seems similar,
but
not too far
off
in age.
What I'm saying is, seven or eight years before this, the galaxy...
Well, you also have to remember, there's a 3-year jump in Han's age in this movie.
Okay.
The movie opens, and then it jumps 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the galaxy...
When him and Emilia Clarke...
But in less than a decade before this, the galaxy was ruled by the Imperial Senate, or the Galactic Senate,
yes.
And the Grand Republic... And it was a democratic institution in which all of the member planets of the galaxy came to Coruscant to debate and discuss politics politically. And now they're all fucking cocksucking, stealing thug motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like everyone owns slaves. They've completely...
There's bandits.
It's
and
like
yeah.
The entire galaxy has regressed to like... pre-Egyptian times where like there's no morality.
They didn't
everyone's
drain the swamp.
Right?
Well, Corey, that's what
and
happens.
So they have to get everybody got to get woke, cuz any premise of democracy which what lasted for 2000 years or whatever in the Republic has been eradicated from the entire fucking galaxy.
Wasn't
and
that
they're all scumbags.
The Trade Federation's problem. Yeah,
that's right.
The
you know
evil
what? The Japs.
The evil.
You're blaming on the Japs.
All right, let's move on. All right, there was
you will not slander that Trade Federation.
There was a singing fish.
That's actually pretty good.
A singing fish.
I forgot about that.
The singing fish. That's why I take notes. What am I writing down? I'm writing down there's a singing fish.
There was a singing fish.
I think you were in book club.
I
thought it was a little tacky when they got
I
in the...
I think you're in book club, Joel.
No. It's so I thought it was tacky. They got a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Get in the cockpit. And Chewie goes, what's this? And pushes the button. And it's like, give me that fillet of fish. Sorry.
No, this is a singing fish.
Did they say the name of
this? Yeah, it's Big Mouth Billy Bass right in the cockpit.
Singing fish. No, the lady singing, and then the fish is in a little thing next to her.
Yeah, jar.
And this fish
That was funny.
Singing.
That's a Star Wars-y touch.
It's a Star Wars-y touch. It felt like...
The problem, I think, some of this is that when you get a Star Wars movie every 6 months, the incredible novelty of Star Wars...
Yeah, it goes away.
The
yeah.
genius of Star Wars originally, why I think everybody loves this shit to this day, is in that first movie, they did all of the tropes from Casablanca... and World War II movies, and they threw robots and aliens on top of
right.
it. And it all and when they walk into the cantina, it looks like Rick's Cafe American,
okay. yeah.
and everybody goes, "Oh my god!" But there's like a wolfman and shit. Isn't that funny?
Right. Do we believe that in Paul Bettany's apartment or whatever, his office.
Oh, yes.
That was the idol from Raiders of the Lost Ark, do we think it was for sure?
It looked like it.
Josh, did you notice that?
Not really.
Because he has this collection of things that he clearly... Like, I thought that could have been Mandalorian armor.
Yeah,
was
it was
that
definitely... Because you could see the silhouette
okay,
of the helmet.
Yeah, I thought it was Mandalorian armor. Which means he killed a bounty hunter or something, right? So he's this dangerous dude. But you think that was the idol from Raiders on the little...
I guarantee it looked like there were many scenes where you could see it right behind them.
Yeah. Okay, so that was a nod to... Raiders,
so.
I guess.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, look at it.
It totally was that.
You on Wikipedia and you still
just
or you just pulled the idol of that.
So that was totally hanging out in the background in Paul Bettany's office.
Okay. What
happened to Paul Bettany that he had red eye all the time?
His face.
His face was all scarred up I don't know what the deal
he
with
had
that
permanent
was.
Red eye.
Well,
pink eye.
You're not if you're, you know,
tiger skin.
How much sleep are you getting if you're running
it? Well, it could be like whatever his species or whatever.
Yeah, that's
wherever
true
the hell
too.
He's from, too.
Oh,
he could have been a real.
But then when he dies, he sort of turns white, right? At the end there. So I don't know what that was. Boy, I can't read some of my writing.
I feel like there was a little Thompson twins, like, don't you want me, baby, going on between those two.
She was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
Yeah. That much is true.
Clint Howard shows up, of course, because Ron directed.
That, we know that Lord Miller didn't direct that scene.
He's going to be in every Howard movie.
I thought that was Gallagher.
No,
it did look a little bit.
Gallagher was an extra.
Clint Howard is Ron Howard's misshapen, deformed gargoyle brother.
He passed away, right?
No.
Oh, I must Clint's, be wrong.
Ron Howard's dad passed away like last year.
Rance
Howard. Who was an actor,
Who was a cowboy actor.
They applauded, our audience applauded Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. They
so they,
a lot
the
of
first
fun.
Time we saw that.
They fucked that shot up, too. Because they were like, this is my ship. And it was all covered in fog.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, you know.
You wanted to see this dramatic.
They didn't do a
well,
big.
Well, the way they did it in Force Awakens was cool. When they're running away from that thing and they're going to get on that ship. And that blows up and then they turn and they get on the Millennium Falcon. That was cool.
But they didn't do the big heroic reveal of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
They were just like, oh, this is my ship. And it was all. In shot in Mirko vision as the rest of the early part of the movie.
George Lucas, in the Variety article, they talked about, you know, the scene where they're on the ship and Emilia Clarke and him are sitting there and they're making out and that him throwing down the jacket. She's trying on outfits and Han grabs the jacket and like throws and, you know, he's supposed to like, I guess in the script, he's supposed to take her jacket and hang it up. And Lucas was on set that day, and he goes, yeah, Han would just throw that jacket on the ground.
Mm.
And so that was in there. So that's what they said
that's
Lucas
awesome.
Did. So that's cool.
That's
neat. Lucas was on set.
He made a good choice to get rid of the white vest that he was wearing in the first scene.
Okay.
I didn't old care. Navy tech vest?
Yeah, I didn't care for that vest.
What am I writing down here? I'm trying to read my own notes. Good talk, guys.
I felt like this movie felt the closest to being on Earth, kind of, you know? Like
yeah.
Okay.
People were acting in human ways.
So
no, I'm saying which is I mean they weren't like that's kind of the problem is that people in some of these Star Wars movies act in a really baroque, weird, particularly in the prequels, they behave.
The casino scene, like
they all act like weirdos.
Lando, okay, so Woody Harrelson's character at some point is wearing the exact disguise that Lando wore in Jedi when he went into. Now, are we supposed to believe that's the exact same thing, or is that a common?
It was almost a similar scene because wasn't Chewbacca chained up in Jedi?
Yeah, and I don't know if
they repeat beats all the time.
They do, but I was thinking like, is there supposed to be like.
Yeah,
Lando was going to end up with this in the Falcon, and so it was there when Lando had to go try to rescue.
Well, I do like that the ship was all pristine when Lando had it, and then Han and Chewie
slides it on the ground and fucks it up.
Well, maybe with the disguise when it was in Return of the Jedi, maybe that was Chewbacca's idea. Like, hey, this worked once before.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, you know, in the cargo hold, we got this old.
We have this mask.
Yeah, but I don't know. I wasn't able to follow what exactly happened to that outfit and where it ended up.
Because Paul said to me at one point when they pulled the hatch open, he's like, boy, I bet you could hide in that at some point.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the you know.
And like, you know, they totally set up all these things. Like,
so the compartment that's 6 feet from the front door is where you're smuggling shit for decades and overthrowing the Empire?
Nowhere else in that
the same
just
one, just right there.
The false floor,
no
too.
One ever, no one ever thought to look
this
there.
This Empire was pretty shitty.
They were dumb. Okay, so the other thing. Okay, so now there's another canon thing that, and this goes back to the prequels, but in episode 3... Yoda goes to Kashyyyk and he's buddies with the Wookiees, and he actually talks to Chewbacca.
Yeah.
So in this movie, Chewbacca is a prisoner when Han meets him, so what's going on?
I choose to forget the prequels existed.
And that's I forgot about that.
That's the easiest way to solve that.
Chewbacca.
I fucking hated when
that's
they
what
went,
he said, right?
I hated
that's
when they went to Kashyyyk.
Well, we always wanted to see Kashyyyk.
Right.
And then they showed us Kashyyyk for like 90 seconds in that movie. And,
in the holiday special.
Well, in the holiday special. And I think they did Kashyyyk better in the holiday special.
Where Lumpy...
with Lumpy and Grandpa.
Lumpy and Grandpa.
And can we say that...
By the way, that is the greatest moment in the history of Star Wars. When Grandpa watches a porn on the holodeck.
Yeah.
On the hologram machine.
Anthony, the other Wookiee was voiced by Anthony Daniels. I'm reading that on Wikipedia.
Didn't that
so there's kind of an uglier Wookiee.
Didn't he looked more like a Bigfoot. He looked off model.
He looked like Planet of the Apes, Didn't he look like or 2001?
Yeah, he looked much more actual apish.
Dr. Zayasi.
But okay, so all right, so
I was thinking more like Harry in the
So head. I don't know if that I don't know if that Lando and the robot were. I mean, the Falcon trying to escape a giant creature was right out of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Space octopus, whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, well, they fly into that. They're in the asteroid field and they fly through the asteroid and they're in the mouth of it.
It
felt like that.
That scene did not need the big octopus.
No.
That was really lame.
Let's see. Warwick Davis shows up.
Yes.
Who was in Willow and, of course, was Wicket in Return of the Jedi.
Willow!
So Ron Howard's. So you can assume that all of that is Ron Howard shot footage. You could assume. I mean, if you want.
Again, they had a key light.
Okay.
They actually lit
the
set.
Did anyone else get a Mad Max vibe? Like, maybe they did this right after Fury Road came out, and they said, we want to have this kind of team of bandits in the desert.
Yeah, the Marauders.
I thought that that probably had just come out, and they were like, we need some hot fucking Mad Max shit in this.
Okay, what was the name of that group?
I forget.
They kept saying it was
Scarlet.
Was Crimson Dawn.
Crimson Dawn, which sounds like a porn star.
Oh, yes, or a metal band.
Yeah.
But it was all, they were like, I could not get my head around the name of that group. It was like Imran, Eri.
Crimson means red, and that means that Patrick Swayze is going to have to rescue us.
But they couldn't. But they like they couldn't
red
just call
Dawn.
Him.
That's a Red Dawn reference.
That's right.
You're keeping score at home.
It's true.
If you think this show doesn't have geek credibility, well, fuck you. Here's Exhibit A, motherfucker.
Jennifer Grey before her nose was. But
all right, did we?
Those
did,
people look like I was to say they did look like. Mad Max and, and Guar.
Okay, a little bit, sure.
They were a Guarish feel to them.
Okay, in this character, Alden Ehrenreich, does he have a scar on his chin in this to look like Solo, or was it just that he has a scar on his chin?
I don't know.
And they didn't show us.
They didn't show him getting. I thought they would maybe show us getting the scar on his chin.
Well, that's the other
because it's so noticeable.
Might have happened when he was a kid.
So they had.
But I'm trying to say, did they do a little makeup scar on the actor to make it look?
I honestly didn't
more like
the scar.
Harrison
did
Ford.
He have the scar?
But it didn't seem as pronounced. So that's why I'm going like. Oh. Maybe it
so they
wasn't...
had the dice.
Yeah, the dice thing, and I knew that. And I was watching Last Jedi the other night with my girlfriend, and I go, "Yeah, remember those dice? Because those dice are in A New Hope for like, I mean,
a
they're
second.
Not. There's no like zoom. There's no
at no point.
Shot,
in the,
it's their their background thing.
At no point in the original
in the
trilogy does Harrison Ford go, "These are my lucky dice."
Right. So at the end of Last Jedi, when Luke is like. Here's the dice from the thing. Which, by the way, how does he give her the dice if he's not even fucking there?
By the way, Han Solo never believes in the Force. he says, you know.
It's all real, though, in The Force Awakens.
Until later, Force Awakens.
He becomes a believer after, you know, his brother-in-law can move rocks with his fucking mind.
Yeah.
But
it is impressive.
Right. So he finally goes, maybe the Force is real, when he watches dudes with laser swords throw shit around. But, he doesn't believe in the Force, but he believes in luck.
Okay, yeah.
He's like an atheist, but he's like, everything's real luck dependent.
Did we
say, wouldn't it be easy to believe in the Force?
Was there a shot of the dice actually in the Falcon at one point? Did they do that shot? Like, when he gets the Falcon back at the end. I think he's got
him in his hand.
They're in his hand, yeah. And they're in his speeder bike at the beginning and stuff. Yeah. And you see them. And because I was like, why are this? When I saw Last Jedi, I was like, why are these dice all of a sudden this important thing they keep going back to? And I was like, oh, that'll be in the fucking Solo movie. And it was. So that was there. What else do we have here? The weapons I thought that the Marauders had, were those the same ones from Rogue One? Those shock stick things?
Yeah, the ones Stormtroopers
they seem
had
like,
or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, they yes. seem like
I thought that
the same
too.
Things.
They must not hurt that bad, because they made you go down to your knees, but they didn't make you yell, like, don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, definitely don't tase me. they need better weapons.
The Wookiee had to carry the bags. I know I leaned over to Corey and said that. Fucking Chewie's like a fucking porter in this movie.
Well, he's strong.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But
they did make him schlep up and down the dune with those. Also, that speaking of MacGuffins, that thing was like, we've got this, whatever, the coaxial, whatever it was, the
name of the
coaxium,
yeah,
the unobtainium, whatever it was.
Exactly.
It was they was like, it's gonna explode if it gets warmer.
Yeah. Nobody, then, yeah, that wasn't mentioned.
Like, you have cryo technology in this fucking universe in which you can freeze a human being in carbonite. Yeah. So you're telling me you can't put this shit in freeze?
Yeah.
And keep it from overheating?
I have a Wikipedia trivia note here. So Michael K. Williams was going to play that crime lord, Dryden Voss. According to an interview that he gave, that character was actually an alien that was going to be motion captured, and it was described as a half mountain lion, half human. So I'm guessing for the sake of speed of shooting, because they were on a deadline, that they just made it Paul Bettany in makeup.
Now I'm kind of disappointed that it was a half mountain lion.
Well, you're going to get a half robot, half dog movie called Axel this summer.
Oh, yes. That's...
Which looks like it was made with like Chinese money or something. That was the worst fucking thing I've ever heard. That was
amazing.
The worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I have to say that the guy dog former.
Yeah, I called it dog former.
Did you see a monster truck?
Oh yeah,
where there was a real monster.
Yeah,
in
that's
a truck.
What I thought of too.
Well, yeah. No, Corey and I both said that when monster that preview truck, yeah. came on, we thought it was like Monster Truck 2.
No, I literally thought it was a transform. I literally thought there was going to be a Transformers trailer.
That movie's called
when it started
Transwoofers.
Yeah, I mean it was just like. You got it, but then when I looked at like the production, you know, at the end where they show all the production companies, it's like I don't recognize one fucking studio there or anybody. So that is like some fucking Asian
weird
shit. That is
Chinese
some weird
finance
Hong Kong
independent
fucking.
But how did they
stuff.
Get that preview before Solo?
They must have bought space, or I don't know if they bought it from MJR or if they bought it from
They probably
Disney.
Paid a lot of money for that, though.
Maybe, but I mean, but that looks absolutely awful.
Yeah,
there's
terrible.
A fucking another Jungle Book. Well, like, anyone gave a shit about the fucking Jungle Book that came out 3 years ago?
Axel made Chappie.
Oh, yeah.
Look
like
2001.
Bad Chappie or something.
Who's the...
And what about John Cena as Bumblebee? When does that come out? Oh, Jesus Christ, people. Christ.
Who's the target demographic for that Jungle
Axel,
Book movie?
Or the Jungle Book movie that's apparently not going to have any songs. Yeah,
you know? Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Because the Jon Favreau, the Disney Jungle Book. Okay, so... Disney, we were yelling at each other during the trailer. Yeah. It's Jungle Book. It can't be Jungle Book. They just made a fucking Jungle Book.
Yeah, it's called
so it's
Mowgli.
So it's called Mowgli.
So apparently,
because Disney took that story, their Kipling novel,
so apparently,
and put a bunch of dumb songs in it and made the cartoon.
Apparently, the original book is not copyright protected. Anymore.
Yeah, it's probably.
So it's people go, why is there another Robin Hood movie?
Yeah, they can make
because
Robin Hood.
They can make Robin Hood movies.
They probably Three Musketeers is probably like that too. And so, but
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes, yeah.
But we were saying too that it was weird to see the Mowgli movie before a Disney movie because Disney
made, and I think they're making Jungle Book 2, and I know like those had the songs and Bill Murray was the bear and stuff and that. But
the funniest part was this: after the Axel trailer, a guy in the audience yells out, "Hard pass,
hard pass." Yes, I agree. I think that was a good heckle.
And then of course, my biggest laugh during the film was Paul Bettany kept saying like. You know, Daenerys Targaryen did awful things.
Yeah.
Han, you wouldn't want her. Like Han and her had this romance, and he kept trying to get back in those panties. Yeah.
I just want Han to go, she's got dick-sucking lips.
No.
Okay. Come on, let's get serious.
Corey made me choke on my beer at this point.
Because they kept going back to this. Like, they said it three or four times, like, she did things. She did awful things. I went, butt stuff!
Well, there you go. I mean,
butt stuff.
You try getting laid with the Empire hanging over your head, Corey.
I know.
It's not easy.
Lando
you gotta
did it.
Take it.
just with a robot.
Yeah, Lando's
it's a
like,
robot. I don't know what he's doing.
Hey, baby, what do you got? An SD port in this?
Yeah, I don't know what.
Is that a USB hub? I can get with that.
You got a micro USB or a mini USB?
Oh, DVD drive, baby. We go. Slide right in there.
Let me slide into that lightning port, baby. I don't know. I mean, look, I will. Okay, so
Roomba. If you what happened with that?
You were Danny Glover, how would you feel watching that scene?
I would be too old.
Donald Glover or Danny Glover?
No, Danny Glover.
Danny Glover,
the dad.
Oh, okay.
How would you feel watching that scene?
I don't think they're related.
Wait, I don't know. Are they related?
I thought they were related.
All black people are related.
Yes, of course they are.
No, I thought for real that they were related.
I'll look that up.
I don't know that Donald Glover is related.
Danny Glover would be like, I'm getting too old. That would be his response to that fucking movie. I'm sorry. I still am hung up on the droid that likes to fuck. I'm really confused. It's really
no, but he was so upset when she died.
Yeah, that worst scene in the movie when he's trying to like rescue this droid as it's falling apart, and he grabs it and he's running across this battlefield. Some motion that really was cheesy.
It was like a romantic comedy all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like, you know,
yeah,
like he's crying.
I was totally wrong. I thought for sure they were related.
No, well, no. You know, my dad feels that way. Like everybody in Hollywood with any name. Yeah. Like, he was insisting Adam Baldwin was a Baldwin brother.
Yeah, he's not a Baldwin.
He's like, they're all related.
He's not a Baldwin.
That's how they got their jobs. They're all related. All.
Bruce Springsteen isn't Jewish, but my mom thinks he is.
He's not. He's Dutch.
Oh, I'd like to
Dutch and Italian.
Danny Glover could have played the other Wookiee. That would have been
good. Are you saying Diane Keaton isn't Michael Keaton's mom?
No.
No.
People thought they were sister
and
brother.
No relation to Buster Keaton.
Yeah, well, you know, Michael Keaton.
That's his grandpa.
Michael Keaton's real name, by the way, is Michael Douglas.
He's Michael Douglas, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Tim Allen's real name is Tim Dick.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Because sometimes your name describes what you are.
I've met Tim. Tim Allen's nice.
No, Tim's...
I met Tim Allen. He's nice.
I know. Tim's...
He's a perfectly fine
Tim's
individual.
A lovely guy with a terrible taste in sitcoms.
Whatever. I don't know.
I just love how they're going to save that one. Like, that one piece of shit Tim Allen sitcom is this cause celeb that they, like, keep canceling him. Yeah. And they're like, no, we're going to bring it back, God damn it, for America and apple pie. I'm like, just, there's, you know, make something else.
What else do we got here on
Kevin
Solo?
James killed his wife on the show.
Can we talk a little bit about Last Jedi here?
Sure.
As compared to this, because I thought, and my girlfriend wanted to see Last Jedi before we saw Solo, so Monday we fired that Blu-ray up, and... boy, I hated the stuff that I hated in that again, maybe worse.
Yep.
And that's the problem with that movie is that, you know, there's a good movie in there if you take a fucking, take a razor
scalpel
blade to some of it and cut out all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
There's probably a good movie in there. I felt that this movie has less to get rid of to make it really why this is better.
I would subtitle that Poe Dameron did nothing wrong.
Yeah, I agree with
because
you.
Because basically... everything Poe does is to win the fucking war, and the other ones are like, "But you can't. You're going about this rebellion and terrorist insurrection against someone who doesn't actually control the galaxy." I hate those fucking.
Well,
movies.
You have to do something with Finn in that movie. By the way, I don't think I talked about this when we reviewed Last Jedi here, but seeing it again, how do you end? I mean, who's writing this shit when you have a character named fucking Rose? In fucking the Star Wars universe,
space.
The fucking most boring fucking white girl old lady name.
How
do you end up with a Rose?
No.
These names are usually like sort of Japanese derived in the Star Wars universe.
She's Korean.
Okay, exactly. So what is? But was she Tokyo Rose?
No.
What the fuck is she?
I'm just saying. You're more likely to meet a Korean girl named Rose.
Okay, fair enough.
Than you are a white woman.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
Okay, but that's the thing. About
far,
Star,
far away.
But that's the fucking thing about Star Wars.
But
you,
it's so
unimaginative. You and McGregor. Who looks literally like a jar of lemon curd and some fucking PG Tips tea. Like, he's like the human equivalent, you know, he's like the British Isles condensed into a fucking bucket of whiteness, is named Obi-Wan fucking Kenobi. Alec Guinness is named Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay, but
so they give him a Japanese name.
But they all have Japanese names because it's inspired by Japan.
So the fucking one Korean in the history of Star Wars is named Rose Tico.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. It makes no
sense. Just give her a space name.
But I'm like... this room, we could come up with 500 space names in 30 seconds.
Her name
that would all be better than Rose.
Her name is Jaredith Pancelar.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you fucking make up a space name.
And I think Luke
is fuck faces.
Luke is like,
that's the worst character in Last Jedi.
Key and Peele type.
She's a fucking purse puppy, fucking panda bear.
I
like
She's got a Hello Kitty backpack, and she's running around saving the...
She's a fucking no-scorekeeping soccer fucking millennial softball.
All right, listen, I think the actress did a good job.
No,
it's
but
a bad character.
Her character is
it
like...
It was a bad character.
Her character is like, I'm not actually good at anything, but yes, queen! Like, fuck her.
Yeah.
I hate that character. She's not a character. She's a set of criteria.
No, absolutely.
To be like... We need to add an
It's absolutely typecast.
Yeah.
It's absolutely like
and that's why
tokenism
sucks.
At its worst. Yeah.
Lando covers
female Asian.
Like, oh yeah,
young.
Like there's no Asians in Smash. Yeah.
Lando.
Yeah.
Lando's a good character.
Yeah,
he's good in this movie.
And he was the token black guy in Empire Strikes Back.
No, but he had a personality in Empire Strikes
exactly.
Back.
Exactly.
Which the actor imparted, but it's in the script too.
Yeah, yeah.
Lando is an interesting character. He's complex.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily He's a good guy. But he's got to get there.
And they'll probably make
eventually.
A Lando movie.
They yeah. should have made a Lando movie.
I think they
of
will
this.
Make a Lando movie.
It would have been better.
I think a Lando movie would have been better.
Actually, I thought Donald Glover's impression kind of got old. And maybe it's not all him. I think they didn't give him a lot to do. But yeah, I thought that robot scene with the holding it up.
Well, he kind of just sits on the ship
the
for
most
a lot of it.
Yeah, so I didn't think. I mean, he looks good sitting at the poker table and all that stuff. And
at least I recognized who that character was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
yeah.
wasn't like Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Where they were like,
it doesn't feel like Luke.
Hey,
a little bit, yeah.
Luke didn't act anything like we'd seen in the other fucking previous movies. The entire story arc of Luke Skywalker.
But then the reason Luke's different is he's pissed off and it's a 90-second flashback. Is all you know? It's because of Ben.
Of something we didn't see,
murdering the kids or whatever. Yeah, it's like something we didn't even see.
By the way, I'm going to fix the entire fucking Star Wars trilogy for you right now. I'm going to make the whole prequels. Better.
I got $12.
Right.
So I'll give it to you.
To the two things, the two things I fucking hate the most: the fucking Jedi robes. Okay, I'm not kidding. Because you know, what?
I think digitally we could really fix those now, Corey.
But you know,
the technology exists.
But the Jedi robes also made them decide that they were monks.
Yeah.
In the first Star Wars movie, they were referred to as Jedi Knights.
Yes.
They're right. Like, you served my father in the Clone Wars.
Yes.
You were an honorable knight. When you take a knight and you turn it into a fucking monk, you give me a guy I don't fucking care about.
Yeah.
Because I want a space hero that fucks. So I hate the Jedi because they're sexless fucking preachers. They're child molesting space assholes. And I hate them after that prequel series.
All right.
They ruined the Jedi. Irrevocably, because monks, I hate all religious people. I hate monks. Fuck you. I like a knight. A knight is chivalrous. A knight is motivated for glory, for kingdom, for honor, and pussy. That's a character I can care about.
Goodness.
So you bled all of that joy out of him. So I'll tell you what, take the fucking monk aspect, take the stupid midichlorians, and take the...
Well, they never touch the midichlorians.
Take
again.
The a Jedi, no. A Jedi can know no love.
All right,
fuck all that off of there.
Can we
and make them knights and go? A Jedi has a code of honor and has to serve the Republic. That's the same thing. And then you can have a thing where Obi-Wan is tapping Padma on the back end.
Yes,
and that's why Obi-Wan. That's why Darth Vader loses.
He
his
decided
fucking,
to get laid, and then the whole universe broke.
No,
down.
But I'm saying that's an actual human situation.
Yeah, right.
Is that you find?
But that
out,
was bad. Apparently,
you find out
yeah.
that when Anakin's off playing hero and running around being the greatest Jedi in the galaxy, she's sad and goes. To Obi-Wan, and he consoles her with his dick. And then that gives Darth Vader a fucking motivation to actually hate and be angry and has human emotion.
I think this is what we do.
Prequels are devoid of human emotion because George Lucas is a retard.
Let's send a Terminator.
So no child molesting space assholes?
No!
No, they're bad. They're bad for the movies.
I'm sorry. I used to be a Star Wars fan, and those prequels broke my fucking back. And I have since then not been a Star Wars fan. I always say my fandom is dead.
You like Force Awakens. I sat there.
I did kind of enjoy Force Awakens because they were trying to.
And that was really the first nostalgic thing that they sort of did. And they got the spirit right.
But
I guess
the characters were. But Finn and Poe and what's her name?
Rose.
Rey.
Not Rose, damn it. Don't bring that up again.
But they were appealing characters and they were well done.
BB-8.
Rose was. Chucked in there as
yeah,
like
Rose
a fucking
was, yeah,
token,
Rose was not,
and that was dumb. And okay, no, everybody in this movie felt pretty like none of the characters other
spell
than
it with a Z. That would have been better as a Z. So call it Rose.
Yeah, seriously, we
R O O Z E.
This might just be
R O O Z.
My brain is dumb, but this is the first Star Wars movie in like 3 or 4 that I've known all the characters and
R O W Z
remembered all their names
well,
and known who everyone was.
For the most part, there's a couple. functionary side character.
Yeah, but like, it was very linear, I thought, this movie.
What was Emilia Clarke's character, Josh?
Well,
what was her name? What was her name? No, come on, you know everybody's name.
It was Clarice.
I've been refusing to call her by her character name, but I know
what it was. What was it? Do you know it?
Kira.
Kira, yes. It was Q-I-apostrophe-R-A.
But they can't give Rose a Z?
No, Rose Kira. Gets nothing.
It was Kira the Unburnt, the mother of dragons. Khaleesi.
What if she just drove in with a dragon?
That would have been great. I would have thought that would have really added to the movie.
It's called Ready Player Two, where all of these...
If you think I'm angry about Star Wars...
Well, this was better than Ready Player One. Can we all agree this is better than Ready Player One?
I was livid about Ready Player One.
Okay, I told you to see Ready Player One just as a spectacle. Not that Ready Player One's great, because it's not, but yes. I think there's a lot of comparisons between Ready Player One and this. The young guy and the girl, there were two things
that kept me from really hating Ready Player One.
Yeah.
King Kong is in it.
Yes.
So that's like no movie with King Kong in it gets a 0 star just because it's cool. Let's not open that fucking Ark of the Covenant again and watch Nazis melt all over the room.
Yeah.
So should I actually watch this?
Oh, that thing. So get high as fuck. Just put a brick of weed in your chimney. Seal the windows up. That's how you do it. Just an edible, just the full fucking cookie, man. Just eat the whole fucking thing. I call it Rick Mahorn high. Get high as Rick Mahorn would watch that thing.
It's my plans for Friday.
There you go. Get Rick Mahorn.
Rick Mahorn high and watching Ready Player One.
So apparently also in the development of Solo, Lord and Miller were basically fired for taking too long, for doing too many takes, too much improvisation.
Yeah.
The tone was wrong. It was going to be more comedic. They wanted this to be a little more serious, I think. The producers, Kathleen Kennedy and Luke, I can tell you,
the scenes seemed to stick out like what they were
doing. What was a Lord and Miller scene, would you say?
The fuck robot.
Okay.
I don't think Ron Howard introduced all that.
Okay.
But the early scenes that didn't look, they were look like they were shot in the fog, that action stuff on Corellia.
Felt like them because they don't know how to shoot action?
I think that was them. I don't think Ron Howard did that. No.
They made 21 Jump Street, Corey. Are you trying to say they don't know how to make an action
Ron
movie?
Ron Howard's a mediocre director. But
Jonah Hill played a cop and you bought that.
Okay, but everything is lit properly.
I think stylistically it's because you want to start the movie claustrophobic and then open it up. The first beginning of the movie was all tight shots. It was close-ups. And the movie widens up, Corey.
It wasn't claustrophobic. It was like you couldn't see anything.
Well,
I mean, that was bad. I thought that was too dark.
I liked it.
And dingy in the response.
But I think whatever they did, whoever shot what, I think the final product... You know, when you talk about these movies that go through development I think this actually did good.
I can't wait, actually. I would love, and they'll never happen because it's Star Wars.
What's that?
But the
you want deleted scenes?
The Richard Donner cut of Superman 2.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say never say never.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
Okay, so Richard Donner shot 70% of Superman 2. They shot him back to back.
Yeah.
And eventually the Salkinds fired him because it was taking forever.
Yes.
Because the dumbasses were like, shoot two movies back to back.
So then
Richard Donner had, there's a Richard Donner cut. They went back and recut because the whole spinning the world backward was supposed to be in the end of the second movie. Anyway, but it's really different if you look at the Lester one, and you can see on something like this where they did two different directors, you can totally tell the difference.
Okay.
And so I'd love to see that for this movie.
Well, I mean, they did reshoots on Rogue One.
Right.
You know, they added the whole Darth Vader stuff was Tony Gilroy and not Gareth Evans.
That's what's really Gareth Edwards. What's really people don't realize that trailers are not cut by the directors of the movie.
No, not at all. Mm. Well, there's a lot of shots in Rogue One that aren't in the film. You know, there's all kinds of shots of like a TIE fighter and Jin is holding the data. It's never made the cut. It never made a movie.
Times footage.
It was a rough, rough footage.
Trailers are cut by a separate studio, a trailer production company.
Yeah.
Cuts the trailers.
But I'm saying.
And they just use the raw footage. And then sometimes that's why the stuff isn't in the
movies that are sort of these Frankenstein of different directors and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought this was very good considering what they made it a little more. They rushed. I mean, they were shooting this thing last fall.
Right.
I mean, literally, they shot this movie, the bulk of this movie was shot like less than a year ago.
It had a relatively...
And that's pretty amazing for a blockbuster like this.
It had a relatively contained story.
Yeah, I get it.
Even though they introduced like two different rebel the Red Crimson
and then the
Gwar people were.
Yeah.
So those were a little bit wonky, but...
Well, it was also the bad people with the heart of gold, which you kind of...
You had a heist storyline.
Because there's really, yeah, it's... Sometimes I feel like the modern Star Wars is we're afraid to really have villains. We're afraid to have people who really kill people. You know, everybody's got a motivation.
Well, they've...
Like, you have the big bad, which is like Paul Bettany in this movie, but the other bad people all have good, honest intentions for their bad actions.
In New Hope...
Yeah.
Darth Vader is 100% evil.
He's a complete bad guy.
Not any note of goodness.
Revenge of the Jedi, he doesn't kill one person.
Right.
Doesn't do anything.
Because that's the redemptive arc of the movie.
Yeah.
So they now think every one of these fucking movies has to do
Return of the Jedi.
And it weakens them, though.
But they don't even give you
like
that
was a magic trick that they pulled with the first trilogy.
Yeah.
Is we slowly learn
bad
that
guy
Vader
turned out to be a good guy.
Is on a course to redemption. Yeah. So you're right.
But
so
these
now,
courses don't take three movies. They take like...
But now Adam Driver's character isn't really...
Oh, yeah,
evil.
he's going to be a good guy in the next one, of
And
course.
He was kind of wobbly to begin with
he's
in the first
he's
one.
He's a tweener, as they say in wrestling. Not quite a heel, not quite a face.
That's true. It's hard to book those matches.
It is. Anything
like,
else on
like
this?
Like Dean Malenko.
My
kind of a technical guy.
He just didn't have much personality.
Yeah, I'm saying he didn't have much personality. He wasn't really a heel or a face.
I loved the World War II illusion battle
scenes. Yeah, I thought so.
That was awesome.
I thought that was good. Yeah, I mean, you didn't see a lot of...
Isn't it The Dam Breakers is the movie that he cut? George Lucas didn't have the effect shots filmed yet.
Oh, for A New Hope, and they used the dogfighting stuff?
And famously, he invited, like, Coppola and Spielberg and, you know, all those guys over, Melius.
Yeah.
And, showed them the unfinished cut, and they were like, "What the fuck are we looking at?" And he cut in the dogfight scenes from Dam Breakers,
right? Yeah,
and they were like, "What the fuck are we? What are you doing?"
But you know what? One of these movies, you know, you're going back to World War II movies, you know, dogfights, trench warfare from all those, you know, Paths of Glory, whatever. I mean, I like that's what Star Wars did, and when you see the prequels, you know, Lucas's prequels, like that's just gone. He's not even calling on that, like, film history to make those good. They're just like, we're going to deliver this plot. We have to get to...
Well...
We have to get to this lava fight of fucking Ben and you know, Anakin. And we're going to fucking take 7 hours to get there.
And it is...
And we're going to make Boba Fett a fucking
and it's
thing
tragic.
Because people
it's,
like that helmet.
It's tragic.
And they didn't have
it's
him
tragic
to do.
Because Lucas was so brilliant at that to begin with.
Yeah.
And then all of his movies in the 70s were informed... By this knowledge of all other films, which is why Spielberg is so good, is why people liked him.
Well, this is better than Ready Player One is showing. He's showing his age,
70 years old,
and that's not really relevant modern day blockbuster.
That movie is it's written by a Gen Xer, targeted to millennials, directed by a baby boomer, and the result is fucking butterscotch pudding with pepperoni. It's a mess. You know what I mean?
Don't ruin it. I gotta get Rick
it's ready for
I gotta get Rick Moore and I.
Get
I.
Yeah. Hey, man, watch it on DVD.
I'm gonna get Rick Moore and I tonight and watch it.
Right. You should get Rick Moore and Rodman High.
Rodman
like,
High.
Add an extra level.
What you need to do is, like, pause that and then count the video game characters and movie characters. Because they put 1,000 on screen at once.
It's just like every
And you can't,
everything.
You can't, like, if you've seen the theater, you can't. I mean, I was watching it in that theater where we saw this movie. So that giant fucking screen.
So take a.
I can't imagine trying
get a 200 page lined notebook, write them all down. Then with your other hand, count the ones that matter.
Yeah, it's not much.
I was just gonna start doing shots every time there was a reference.
Oh no, you'll be drunk. Well, you'll be drunk in the first 5 minutes.
You need a button to press for the paramedics. That like just set it a timer on your phone,
or you know. Or then you watch the movie and then watch the YouTube breakdowns of every Easter egg in Ready Player One.
YouTube is the worst of like all.
Yes.
There's already the Deadpool.
Oh, after
the Deadpool spoilers and
I easily
Easter
watched
eggs.
10 hours of Last Jedi YouTube responses and podcasts because I was like, because we saw that and we came in here and nailed what people thought about that, meaning like people didn't like what they did with Luke and the casino scene was idiotic, you know, before anyone had talked about it. And then I was like,
Laura Dern,
did we nail this or did we fuck this up? And we nailed it, but I didn't know it at the time. And then I was like, I got to hear this reaction.
Laura Dern as Admiral Virtual Signal.
Yeah, that was.
She should have been named Proxima because she was approximately a character.
She was Admiral Hillary. It was like the war. I don't know.
By the way, if I have to see more Benicio del Toro in these fucking Star Wars movies, that was horrible.
You know, this is
horrible.
I've told Joel this, but my fix for that whole Laura Dern sequence.
Yes. Just have
Admiral Akbar drives the fucking fleet into the enemy.
Well, you have him give a hero's death. You could have Leia do it.
They couldn't have done that because
they wanted Leia back for nine.
Carrie Fisher died after they finished shooting. Yeah.
What you want in an Admiral Akbar death is for the audience to go, it was a trap.
Exactly. No. And I'm telling you, would that not have been 100% better?
No, that'd have been way better.
If they were like, we've got to stop these guys, and the only way to do it is to hyperdrive into the fleet. And Admiral Akbar's like, I've got it.
But then what was it? He got like sucked out.
They killed him without killing.
Give him a fucking hero's death where he's like,
it's a trap, motherfuckers, and he hits the fucking button and slams into them. He'd go out on top.
I mean, look,
and you like the fans would have popped and be like, "Woo!"
There's an Akbar standing ovation in the theater.
Right. It's weird, but it is weird.
Don't kill the puppet because you can use him in the next fucking movie. Okay.
It is weird what they do for fan service and what they sort of avoid doing now. And it's like it's the decisions they make. I don't get why not, you know, give Chewie his fucking crossbow.
But that
would have been a perfect thing that I wanted to see.
And
they didn't give us that, but they gave us, these dice, which are fucking made up.
I'm not kidding about that. I'm not kidding about that Admiral Akbar thing.
I know, but I'm saying the decisions that they make at Lucasfilm, I don't get.
Corey, the movie's been made.
I know, but what they...
I feel like Laura Dern and Benicio del Toro were in there to give it some sort of...
Nobody cares. Look at all these A-list actors.
And it's like, Star Wars was never about fucking A-list actors. They had one A-list actor in that, Alec Guinness, and he didn't even fucking want to be there.
Yeah, but now it's like everybody... begs to be in these, but
they're all shitty. Samuel L. Jackson sucked in those prequels. I mean, Liam Neeson was all right. Ewan McGregor was pretty good, but I mean, Natalie Portman sucked.
I would argue Sam Jackson sucked. I would argue Ewan McGregor's the best thing about the prequels.
Yeah, probably.
He kind of does his job and holds it together.
Yeah,
and Liam Neeson's good, but he's only in the first one. But yeah, okay. But the Laura Dern is they add a character that nobody cares about
and then
kill. Gone in a reel.
Yes.
Instead of using, they go fan service by going, hey, look at this robot you remember in the droid, or here's Admiral Akbar, and then they just ignore it and then they just throw it away.
And
instead of using it and going, you want fan service? Here's Admiral Akbar charging in a hero's death. That's good.
We'll make that fan movie.
Yeah, Doctor Strange loved that. Have him ride a missile.
Well, that scene again in Last Jedi when Laura Dern and Carrie Fisher like say goodbye to each other, and I noticed this again watching it, I was like, it really feels like fried green tomatoes or some shit. It's two old ladies talking to each other.
I thought 10 minutes of scissoring was a little extreme.
That didn't happen.
Did Solo pass the Bechdel test?
That's right. No, I don't think it did.
I don't think it did.
Did two women have a conversation?
I don't think.
That conversation, but it was about a man.
Yeah.
When she talks to the robot, she talks to Fuck Roomba.
Yeah.
And they're talking
about
Lando.
Yeah. Interesting.
There you go.
I've heard it's really big.
Exactly.
I've heard they're big. Is that true?
Prodigious.
Droid vaginas?
I've heard they're very big.
Yes, I've heard droid vaginas are huge. Access ports.
All right. Can we say goodnight? I think we've said enough. Anything else on this?
Oh, I'm done.
All right. Well, one more thing before we leave. And I'll go around the room and we can decide this as the current members of the Jedi Council and with or absent, should we vote Ellen out of the Jedi Council? Is there any movement?
Oh, no.
We good? Corey, you're out. You're out for Ellen.
Ellen's out. She's getting the Laura Dern treatment.
Josh, what do you say? Is Ellen out?
Why would you look a gift girl in the mouth?
I mean,
she's the only girl that will sit with us.
She didn't show up for fucking Star Wars.
If I could look Ellen in the eye, that would maybe change my perspective on her.
I think Ellen's out. I'm not going to lie. Paul, Ellen in or out? You don't even know Ellen.
I don't know Ellen.
No.
But it opens up a spot for you, Paul.
There you go.
All right, I'll take it.
Next.
Ellen's out. All right. By a vote of 3-4. Ellen's out of the Jedi Council.
Ellen admitted sexual attraction to Jar Jar Binks.
She did.
That was a solid point.
Maybe there's an opportunity for Ellen to earn her Jedi robes again. But I think at this point, no. We like Ellen, but it's shit. We're gonna.
My favorite thing is
she actually. Can I read? I think she actually said that to me in a message. Let me see what she wrote. Because she's so kooky.
But on Rotten Tomatoes it says. Han Solo, A Star Wars Story, is the best Star Wars movie since Last Jedi.
Ellen wrote me, she said, I'm sorry, I love being on the Jedi Council. So maybe we should keep Ellen in.
We can expand it.
There's so many stuff. You know, Ellen's going to have to carry on the Jedi Council when we're all dead. She's 23 or something.
She's the new hope.
She is the new hope.
There is another.
Why don't we hide her on a planet and you can protect her, Corey?
I
don't know what planet she's on, actually.
It's a great question. You should meet this girl. She's very Joni. Anyway. All right. Okay. Get that. There you go. Yep. Message received.
Got
inside
it.
Joke.
All right. Well, let's go around. Let's thank everybody. Josh Boab, thanks for coming back.
Thank you. Can I say one thing about
this
movie?
Yeah.
There were no big-eyed, web-footed penguins.
There you go.
They were not.
No porgs. Porg-free.
Yeah, they weren't selling stuffed animals on this one.
No, I don't think so. Maybe a singing fish?
I hope there's a singing fish.
No.
Billy the Bass.
Space chimp? Who's buying the space chimp if they offer?
You would buy
the space chimp.
I would buy the
four-arm space chimp.
I thought that animation was spotless, though.
I was good. It was cool. I thought I was kind
of
sad when he died.
Paul buys a lot of toys for his son.
Yeah.
For my children.
And shouldn't Billy Crystal have been that voice?
Of the singing fish?
No, the chimp.
Oh.
Well, Favreau's a Disney guy, I think.
Yeah.
Who played the singing fish? Did we find out?
I don't know who the singing fish was.
I hope it's somebody really famous.
You hope it was Taylor Swift or something? Who do you want the singing fish to be?
It was Lady Gaga. It was really weird looking. They got an excessive.
I don't know how I would even find
where that is. I
don't
know. It was like the Mel Torme of fish.
Did you guys really believe in Lando holding the shattered remains of his fuck Roomba?
Yeah, that was the worst scene in the movie.
It was really the worst thing in the movie.
He's holding a toaster
don't
crying.
Don't you quit on me!
You didn't get teary?
Don't you die on me!
Yeah,
part
I mean...
that I salvaged from a scrapyard, don't you die on me!
No, I shed a tear on that.
Did you?
I believed it.
You cried?
Really?
You felt it deep inside?
I felt it.
I felt like that robot should have been named Slippery Slope, because that's what every Republican thinks is going to happen now. We're going to...
Hey, now, we didn't even have a Korean girl in this movie.
Corey can relate, because apparently you've never lost a fuck Roomba before.
No, I've never lost a robot sex toy.
You never dropped a Walkman waiting for the bus, Corey? Can you not relate to this?
You never accidentally dropped
an iPhone in the toilet?
Yeah, come on, man.
I had this wonderful pocket
pussy. Is he saying that you
once.
Fucked a Walkman?
Yes. It's really hard to do.
Was it auto reverse, Corey?
Was it a disc, man?
You need the early models that had the 9-volt battery slot.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're going to say goodnight. Thanks for listening. One more thing before
we go. Joel.
We did do another show this week. If you're listening to this and you're like, where's the regular show with all your dumb stuff? We did that earlier this week, so go look for that. We did a tribute to Mike Lundy, who passed away. He was our good friend and frequent guest.
We've honored him with this one.
I don't know. He's probably better off not having seen this.
Yeah,
but
you dodged one, Mike.
He would tell us about white people, though, if he saw this movie. I can imagine Mike's review. Man, Lando got to fuck a robot? What the fuck with
yeah,
that
exactly.
shit?
It's
Yo,
true.
White motherfuckers making these movies?
It's
a robot Mike with big
funny.
Hips.
Yeah, Mike was funny like that.
And,
so go listen to the
well,
last
was.
Show.
Andy
we put
Newton
up two this week. Yeah, Thandie Newton didn't last long. But all right, let's get out of here. Thank you, Paul, for joining us.
No,
thank you, Josh.
Guys.
Thank you, Corey.
Seven minutes of scissoring.
There you go. the new hot. That's episode 9. Episode 11.
It's episode 69.
Yeah, 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 baby.
Volcrum to Volcrum.
Let's get out of here. We'll see you next time. Don't forget, we do have that other show up this week. Two shows. No shows Memorial Day week. Enjoy your holiday, everybody.
I think 8 hours of us is enough for people to enjoy.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next. We do have reviews of all the Disney Star Wars movies available over on JoelRadio.net. Full episodes of Force Awakens, Rogue One, Last Jedi, and now Solo. And there you go. See you next time.
Herbie Goes Bananas.
We're going to do a full breakdown of that.
It was a great one. We did the Far Out Space Nuts with Ruth Buzzy.
We got 2 hours on Freaky Friday up there. If you go, check out the website.
You guys covering Book Club?
Yeah, we're going to review Book Club. Space Chimps. Ocean's 8 looks great. Oh. Hotel Transylvania 2.
All right. Josh is actually...